I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top of the world, hey. Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt. I've been waiting this
time. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the Everything EPL podcast. That stands for English Premier League. My name is Jordan Gipkins, and alongside me is... Oh, what are you today?
I don't know, mate.
You can be the Nostradamus.
What's that mean? Can I have that in a sentence?
The Nostradamus carried the water. No, you can be the fallacious, boundless, unsightly, thoughtful Jake White. How are you, mate?
You really need to think of this before you start the podcast, don't you?
You want me to tell you what fallacious means? Because that's what you are.
Yes, go for it.
Based on a mistaken belief.
Yes, she's like... I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Well, you're also unsightly, which is unpleasant to look at or ugly. I literally just done a random adjective generator. No one's come up. It could have been worse.
Already knew that one, anyway.
I could have called you Spotty.
Spotty.
Langid.
I was Spotty when I was like 14.
I could have called you Langid, though.
What's that mean?
Having or showing a disinclination of physical exertion or effort.
English lessons are JJ's football things.
JJ's football disinclination. Basically JJ's means you're like unenergetic or you're
let's just create a school, JJ's football school.
And what, just teach them adjectives?
Just make them play Trivial Pursuit every day.
You'll eventually get them all stuck in your head and you'll know it. We probably should teach them how to play first, you know, the X's and the triangles and stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
You're not wrong.
This is episode number 33, L. Jake. So we're pushing the boundaries of 32, and we've moved up to 33.
We're nearly at 34.
In scintillating fashion. Just another
episode 33 of our 40 episodes this year.
It'd be similar to 40 episodes, wouldn't it?
I was just guessing, but I assume it would be roughly 40 episodes.
Oh, in a season, yeah. I'd say
it would be... You'd be thinking it would be 40 episodes, but you just never know. Like, there's...
Realistically, though...
There would be more than 40 episodes because there's teams that have 9 games left.
Right. Oh, yeah. Ignore us, folks. Anyway, sit back and relax and grab a tea or a coffee or a biscuit or some nice beverage, because we're going to be dissecting the latest round of the English Premier League Big Week fixtures in time for your listening ears for tomorrow when we kick off the next round.
Yeah.
That's all that tends to happen.
Everton are playing until Monday. Fuck off.
Who are we versing?
Leicester.
Home or away?
Home.
Yay! Everton! Everton! I love home games. I'll be fucked.
Just to tickle our fancy for Everton versus Leicester at 1:30 on Monday morning as well. The game before that is Sunderland versus Manchester United at the Stadium of Light.
Yeah! Everton! David Moyes! Today sponsored by coffee, because coffee is the saviour of the world. As I put my lips over
around
a coffee.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. Jake, let's kick things off. Burnley versus Stoke. This game is so irrelevant on so many levels. George Boyd.
Burnley won at home again.
Stoke lost away again. And George Boyd scored his second goal of the season. So it's all coming
again.
Out of the house. Yeah, because he probably has scored three.
And Jack Butland didn't start again.
Butland is still injured, is he? Fucking hell.
No, he's back from injury. Like, he's not fit to play, but he's been in full training for over a month.
Good on him, Jack. I hope give him a season.
He was very close to retiring.
Butland.
Yeah, so that would have been madness. Because the injury he had could have completely just fucked up his joints. So he was apparently very, very close to having to retire.
Well, that would have heartbroken me. Yeah, fortunately, he's sticking around. Player of the match goes to big Tommy Me. Ben Me from the Burnley team. Not sure why. He's a defender, so... clean sheet, I guess. George Boyd.
How's Tommy Heaton go? I haven't heard you talk about him in a long time.
Well, he's kept a clean sheet here in this game. He's made a total of two saves. So, obviously, he's not being as relied upon as much. He's still, obviously, in my team of the season as it stands.
Team of the season?
Yeah.
Mm.
But,
JJ's football fix exclusive.
It's obviously a difficult one because there has been a few good keepers in the league.
I'd have Willy Caballero in my team.
Oh, he's so bad.
He's good at saving penalties.
Yeah, and then missing the follow-up and powering it straight back to Hazard. Tommy Heaton still obviously trading along. But, just another win for Burnley. Look, this game is irrelevant, Jake. Let's not beat around the bush.
I'm not even going to talk about it.
Is there really anything to say on it?
No.
Which is probably keep us in line with the next game, which, again, probably very irrelevant. Watford at home to West Brom. A 2-0 win to Watford. Mbai Niang scored in the 13th minute before Troy Deeney scored in the 49th minute. Look, a pretty good game of football.
I'm actually very happy Watford won.
Me too. Very happy.
Obviously, it brings the gap between Everton and West Brom down that further away and everything like that. So, I'm happy Watford won. Old mate Joey Brennan from Cedar Day, Jordan, he was at this game as well. Game to turn up at. Yeah.
What an awkward game to go to on that day.
Hopefully, he had a good time there.
I hope he enjoyed watching Miguel Britos get red carded.
What minute did that happen?
And 65th. I hope he also enjoyed watching a total of 4 shots on target for the match. It just goes to show how good Ben Foster is, doesn't it?
It does.
Because he had an absolute worldie last week against United. Then it turns out this game, cops 2 shots on target and they both go in. Doesn't bode well for your statistics, but...
doesn't.
Mm.
Nor does it bode well for their European chances.
Credit where credit's due, Jake. Mbai Niang, on loan, I believe, on loan, if I'm not mistaken, from Milan. Might be permanent. I think it's on loan.
I could not tell you that.
Scored a worldie, really. Well, not worldie, but just a really, really good goal.
It was a very good goal. 13 minutes. I wouldn't call it a worldie, but it was a kick of the football of the goal variety.
Yeah, very much curvature on the ball.
what was that? Curvature?
Curvature. Apart from that, there's really not much to talk about. I mean, Deeney and Niang dominated, cleverly played, and as he normally does, had a very good pass accuracy.
And by Niang, he's actually on loan.
I thought so. Apart from that, just nothing really to mention in this game.
Nor is there much to mention in the next game.
Leicester versus Sunderland's always a great fixture in my eyes. these are actually very good goals, I thought. Slimani.
Very good.
I'm not sure if he's just returned from injury or something. He's just got his first goal of 2017. he's played every game, then he's struggling. But...
you're not wrong.
He's in the lineup today, starting. Not starting. Yes, starting.
No, he came off the bench.
He came off the bench.
So he must be injured because
7 minutes into the.
I think my app's a bit wrong because my app says that he's only played 7 games and he scored 1 goal.
Yeah.
But apparently he started twice and been subbed off 7 times, but he's only played 7 games.
Oh, well, Jake, I'm going to be honest here.
What an application.
I honestly couldn't tell you. On my app, it says he's played 18 games, scored 6, and assisted 3.
That's probably more correct.
He started 11 of those 18. Maybe he's come off the bench 7 times.
Who knows him?
Oh, he must have. He has to. Yeah, so Slimani scoring. Just saying, last season in the Premier League in Portugal, Slimani scored 27 in 33. He must have just fucking destroyed that league. Like,
oh, mate, I could go to Portugal and destroy that.
Anyway, Jamie Vardy scored 5 goals in 5 games. Is he going to break his record? Probably not. Another good goal, this one.
Before, like, when this run started, when he had scored 2 in 2 games and stuff, it's the first time he'd scored in consecutive games since he went on that streak.
He's one of those players that when he gets the ball rolling, he gets the ball rolling, you know what I mean?
It's literally like he scored like 11 games in a row and they've scored 5 games in a row. So could you imagine, how many games do they have left? Yeah, he can break his record, so you never know.
10 goals, 4 assists in 27 matches. Doesn't bode too well after his 24 goals, 6 assists season last season, but
still not a bad season.
Yeah,
but
he's
not as good as what he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, if he'd had that season last season, people would be saying it's a good season. So it's just because he's just fucking broken records and shit. Anyway, we're not going to mention too much on Leicester and Sunderland this game. Sunderland were going down. I don't think anything we can really dispute that.
They need it to. I reckon Sunderland need to go down.
Yeah.
Just because what Newcastle have done, they went down last season, obviously. They're in the championship this season and they've sort of rebuilt their squad, basically. They're playing some good football over the championship.
Yeah, we give the youngsters a season.
Yeah, and well, it's just given a bit of a breath of fresh air and everything like that. So I think it'd be good for Sunderland, even if they're only down for one season, they come back up. It'd be good just for them to go down, rebuild their squad a little bit, because they've got a lot of dead wood in their team. So,
well, 3 teams have got to go down. And if you look at the table...
Oh, like, they're going down, 100%.
They're 10 points out of relegation. Like,
you'd think Middlesbrough would be going down as well. So the only team, like Swansea, Hull or Palace, might go down. But I reckon 19th and 20th is sorted.
Man, I hope it's Hull.
So do I, especially after a shit game at the start of the season.
If they don't get relegated, jeez, you wouldn't know unless you are. Last game of Tuesday, I believe, was on Wednesday. Manchester United hosted Everton. And Everton took the lead early on, 22nd minute, Phil Jagielka latching on to an Ashley Williams header. Can you believe that? It felt like it was going to go much of the way of a general United scoreline or just a dismal home performance. Right until the 94th minute when Ashley Williams turned into the goalkeeper and saved an absolute miraculous shot. Unfortunately went was the centre back, so. and Zlatan Ibrahimovic converted the penalty. But I think even then we probably would have said pre-game going to United we would just take a point. It's not a bad result away against United. In the whole context of the game and the way it did go. Essentially, we would probably would have taken the win, considering it took them 94 minutes for them to score. But nonetheless, positives, some negatives. I mean, United definitely should have had a goal that was disallowed for one, the offside. But in saying that, Everton had more shots on target, which is always positive.
I wasn't happy, obviously. I'd be interested to hear from anyone that would be happy with copping a 95th minute penalty to not win the game of football at Old Trafford. But it's just one of those ones. We weren't the better team by any stretch of the imagination. We weren't the better team, but I think we deserved the win as well. At the same time, I think United just kept on wasting chance after chance after chance, and that's been the story of their season. Realistically, they've picked up, I think, something like 8 points of their last 33 available points at Old Trafford or something like that, and that's just ridiculous on Manchester United.
Well, the stat came out this week after the game. Mourinho has a 38% win streak at home as United manager, which is the worst since before Sir Alex Ferguson. So,
but no, it's just, I don't know. I went to the, I thought we were going to draw. I think I tipped a draw or United to win or something like that. But we lined up okay. But it's just one of those ones where we just, and I'm not going to put the blame on Williams at all, because there's not much Williams can do. He's trying to save the game for the team, and he sort of panicked a little bit. Because I personally do think that Joel would have saved it if Williams wasn't there.
I'm surprised Williams used his head. I mean, he could have used his leg.
Well, that's what I was looking at. But at the same time, you can't really put yourself in Williams' shoes. There,
yeah, 90, the shot's very quick.
Yeah, like, 94th minute Old Trafford and stuff like that. And you could tell by his positioning of that shot that he sort of panicked. So, yeah, I'm not going to blame him in the slightest, though. I am going to have a bit of a crack at someone else in this game, though. And I don't usually go on any sort of rants on this podcast, in EPL, on the EPL podcast, and nor do I about one of my team's best players, but I was absolutely furious with Romelu Lukaku. Not on the way that he played, because everyone put in a decent shift, and I think Lukaku did play all right, although I think his hold-up play could have been a little bit better. But I think the way he treated Ashley Williams was absolutely ridiculous, with roughly the 85th minute, 80th minute, Williams telling him to come back and help defend and all that stuff, and Lukaku shushing him. And then after the game, Lukaku having a chat with Pogba. I know that, like, they're good mates and stuff. Lukaku having a chat with Pogba, and he's having a crack at Williams for giving away the penalty. And it's just, it's not what Everton need at the moment right now. And it's just, it's one of those ones. I think Lukaku needs to respect his elders. Williams has been absolutely everywhere you possibly can be, like, in the way of football other than a World Cup. Like, he's been to the Euros. He's captained the country to the Euros. He's captained a Premier League team for the last 5-6 years. He's one of the most experienced Premier League players in our team. And I think the lack of respect that Lukaku showed him, especially by shushing him, is absolutely ridiculous. And if I know it won't happen, because he realistically is our best player, but I wouldn't start him in the next game, because he shouldn't be getting away with doing stuff like that. Like, I have all the time in the world for our players showing passion, but I don't have any time for players shushing other players when Williams knows what was needed, and Williams has been a captain of clubs and everything like that, captain of his country. He knows when players need to come back and help defend, especially for the last 5 minutes at Old Trafford, and Lukaku shushing him. I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
Has Koeman come out and said anything about it?
Yeah, Koeman said that it's not on. Like, he said, it's good that players are showing passion, but it's not good that players are shushing other players on the pitch when, like, you're a team. You don't, like, there's obviously going to be patches where players don't agree with one another and they talk that out and stuff like that and they swear at each other, whatever, but Lukaku putting his finger up to his lips and shushing Ashley Williams when Ashley Williams is asking him to come back, I think that's just ridiculous. I understand Lukaku saying, no, I want to stay here and stuff, but shushing him? No, that's fucking bullshit.
Fucking bullshit. We'll kick on now. Southampton hosting Crystal Palace. Big game in context to the relegation scrap. Benteke looked to have maybe given Crystal Palace a bit of hope early on in this with a 31st minute strike after Crystal Palace's win at Chelsea in the weekend. Who knew what could have happened? And it looked like they could be on their road to another away victory. But it was soon put to bed. Nathan Redmond, just 15 minutes later, made it 1-1 before a double from Yoshida and Ward-Prowse late on ensured the 3 points to Southampton, and they move into the top half of the table. Crystal Palace, on the other hand, they're still in that relegation scrap, clear by 3 points as it currently stands, but a win here, even a draw, would have gone a long way to seeing them safe this season. They've got a game in hand, which does bode well for them on the likes of Hull and Swansea and even West Ham. If they win the next game, West Ham drop to 16th. Yeah, it was a good win from Southampton. 25 shots on goal, 61.4% of the ball. So a pretty dominant display. Crystal Palace still had 17 shots on target. Oh, no, not on target, on goal, three on target. So still a good effort from Crystal Palace, who were showing a bit of fight to maintain their position in the Premier League 2017-18 season. So good from Palace, good from Southampton. It's just a good day of football for both teams, I think. Even though Palace lost, I think a lot of their fans will be optimistic they will be staying up this season. Jake?
Yeah, it was a very good game. It was a very, very good game of football. And I enjoyed watching it. I obviously chose the Chelsea game as the main game, but I had my phone, my iPad and my laptop available, so I had three games on at once. And this game was a very good game of football to watch. And Southampton deserved the win, don't get me wrong. And I'm glad that I switched this off in the 85th minute, because then I went from this game on my phone to watching the Tottenham game, and Tottenham scored three goals in the last like 6 minutes to win the game. Yeah, it's a very, very good game of football. Southampton deserved the win, but Palace did turn up. Palace held their own in the game. They were the better team for the first half hour, and they deserved to have the lead after half an hour. But then I forget what his name is, but Southampton's manager must have got stuck into the lads at halftime, and yeah, they came out looking like a different team in the second half, and they deserved the chockies.
That game you're talking about, Swansea hosting Tottenham Hotspur, it looked like Swansea had just made the massive win that could bolster their chances of survival this season. When Wayne Routledge scored in the 11th minute, and they held that right up to the 88th minute, where Dele Alli struck fortuitously for Tottenham after a deflected strike fell straight to him at the back post. It just got bad to worse for Swansea, though, in the 91st and 94th minute, both in stoppage time. Heung-min Son and Christian Eriksen put the game to bed in what was a dramatic match at Liberty Stadium. And one that Swansea will be reeling that they couldn't get at least a point from this one. They should have really got three. But obviously, the big men come out to play in times when the big men come out to play. Tottenham dominated the ball, 72% of the ball, 18 shots to 4, 8 of which were on target. Just the one on target for Swansea. It was, Michel Vaughan played. I guess Lloris must have been injured or suspended, one or the other. Tottenham.
Vaughan played against his former team.
Hmm?
Vaughan played against his former team.
I'm sure he didn't celebrate when he scored. Tottenham continued to push.
He did celebrate, actually. He didn't score, but he was one of the first people to get to Heung-min Son, whatever his name is, when he scored.
Oh, mate, Heung-min Son. Tottenham continued to push Chelsea at the top of the table. The point differential between first and second is now only 7 points, as it was last week.
They'll be fucking fuming at one individual in a minute, though.
Who?
They'll get onto it in the Chelsea City game.
Tottenham probably won't win the league. I mean, there is 8 games to go for them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 7 points down, they need Chelsea to severely fuck up. And it looks unlikely. Chelsea look very set on winning the league this season. But for Tottenham, even a second place finish for them, massive. Like, probably a team a lot of people do rate, but don't rate as maybe a top two team. So for them to finish most likely second position on the table is big. And hopefully, well, not hopefully, I mean, as an Everton supporter, I kind of hope they drop off a little bit, so it gives us a chance of climbing up. But they are a strong team. If they keep the likes of Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, and Heung-min Son, then they're a big chance of continuing that form. And as you said, Moussa Dembele, he's just one of the most underrated players this season. Passed at 91% in this game. Won more duels than he lost. Made 2 tackles. Was just that ever-present, holding midfield sort of player that you want. Can do a bit of both defensively and attacking. And it's what you want, Jake. Fantastic player. But yeah, for Swansea, obviously, the dilemma continues for them. Are they going to escape relegation? They need to have results go their way. Unfortunately for them, they couldn't get the win here. But they do have a few chances of their own to make a difference. They've got a game against Sunderland, which could be a big game for them. They've got winnable games. West Ham away could be a winnable one for them. Really, anyone that goes to West Ham these days could win. Watford away as well, Stoke at home. So they've got chances. They just need to make sure they can win these sort of games, and they should stay up because Hull are not the best. But we'll see what happens, I guess, Jake. It's going to be a very interesting end to the season for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, well done, Tottenham. They fought through and got the 3 points. They're very important 3 points for them, obviously, as well. And they're the first team in Premier League history to win the game by 2 goals or more after losing in the 88th minute. A little fun fact for you. So well done to them for that. It's very important 3 points for them. They needed it to keep pressure on Chelsea and to keep a bit of a gap away from third, fourth and fifth. So, yeah, good on them.
Good on them, Jake. Good on them. The next game here, Hull City hosted Middlesbrough. Big game, 4-2. It's almost irrelevant, but it is relevant because it was a relegation scrap battle that Hull eventually came out on top of and can have big repercussions on that relegation scrap, Jake. Alvaro Negredo, a man that I rate very highly for Middlesbrough, scored in the 5th minute after essentially setting up the pass to assist and then getting it back. It's a very delicate 1-2. Lazar Markovic scored in the 14th minute before Umar Nias, 27th minute.
What a goal.
Put Hull in front. They didn't look back from there. Abel Hernandez in the 33rd minute made it 3-1 half an hour into the game before Martin Darun on stroke of halftime did bring it back to 3-2. So 5 goals in the first half.
Had him on bench in fantasy as well.
Okay.
Had Martin Darun on my bench in fantasy as well.
Fantasy scout report. Hull City then put the game to bed, essentially. Harry Maguire in the 70th minute made it 4-2. And that's all she wrote in this one. Entertaining game of football, Jake. Only 9 shots on target and 6 went in. So it just goes to show how good Jakubovic and Valdez are. But Valdez had a 4.4 rating. Copped 4 goals and made 1 save.
Jakubovic had a 5.9. Played like his Barcelona days when he comes up against Everton.
Yeah, and then plays like his Manchester United days everywhere else. But yeah, 4-2 to Hull, good win. Not much to say on this one, Jake, I guess.
No, I'm not going to say. Well, I'm happy Nias got a goal, but yeah, it's not exactly a game that I'm going to be looking back on too much. But 4-2, it's a very good game of football, but yeah, look, too irrelevant.
Maybe if it was a Manchester derby, 4-2, but maybe not.
We'll probably talk about it for about half an hour.
Arsenal. 3-0 win in the London derby against West Ham. Mesut Ozil, man of the match here, scored a goal in the 58th minute. Darren Walcott popped up in the 68th minute to make it 2-0 before Olivier Giroud continues to do what he does, scoring off the bench this season. Made it 3-0. And that was that. West Ham just continued to struggle. 66% of the ball for Arsenal, 21 shots to 7. Just a struggling game for West Ham, who had just pottering along, really, to the end of the season. They're probably not going to get relegated. They are not a healthy, but 5 points clear of relegation as it stands. It was a bad display from West Ham. Arsenal, they've had the critics lately, of course, because of their form, but a good sort of return to what they can be, and hopefully it kicks them on for the rest of the season for their supporter base.
Yeah, well, it was a very good game for Arsenal. They took a bit to get going early on, but I wouldn't exactly picture Wenger to be one to get stuck into the players, but they definitely came out like a different team in the second half, and they definitely deserved their win. West Ham are still struggling, and I don't think they will, but they're not clear of relegation. They're only 5 points off relegation, so I did say 35-point mark was the escape zone this season for most teams, and they're not past that 35-point mark at the minute.
They've lost five in a row.
Yeah, they are struggling.
With losses that include Bournemouth, Leicester and Hull.
They're not looking good at all. They are definitely struggling. And it, you never know, it could be a genuine danger game for them this weekend against Swansea. Because if Swansea win that, that bridges the gap of relegation to at least minimum 3 points if Hull don't win. So yeah, I don't think they will get relegated, but you never know. It's a very big game for Swansea in that game too. We'll get onto that later on in the podcast.
Yeah, well, I mean, teams have gone to the Olympic Stadium and won, like, all season long. So
yeah, exactly.
A fired-up Swansea, who are playing for their safety in the league, may well just get up. I think West Ham think they're safe, and they're not. And I feel like that's how it could be a danger game for them. On to the next game, though. Danger game for Liverpool, as it always is, against sort of the minnows of the league. They drew 2-2 with Bournemouth. Now, Benneker Fobe has just latched onto an errant back pass early on in the game and put him ahead. Coutinho in the 40th minute made a 1-1. Origi made it 2-1 just after halftime. But Josh King's late strike ensured a point to each of Liverpool and Bournemouth in this one. Bournemouth dominating pretty much all facets. I mean, Liverpool dominating all facets of the game. 66% of the ball, 20 shots to 8. Not really unexpectedly either, just because, I mean, you'd expect Liverpool to probably dominate most games at home, but fair play to Bournemouth. They've done well this season, and in patches, and they've gained 4 points from two games against Liverpool this season, which is a good effort for them. So credit to them, and for Liverpool, sort of their form against those lowerish teams in the league, that sort of mid table down, at home, continues to haunt them.
You're wrong. It pisses me off, sort of, because, like, I don't want Liverpool to win games, but when Everton travel to Anfield and we shit ourselves every single time we see the red of Liverpool on the other side of the pitch, and then other teams go to Anfield and look like they don't care in the slightest, just does my head in. But well done to Bournemouth. It's a shame Liverpool couldn't assist Lukaku on the weekend, but then they decide to give Benneker Fobe a nice little assist. But well done to Bournemouth. And Liverpool were a better team, like, by an absolute country mile, but Bournemouth took their chances and got a draw. And it's the first time in their history, I don't think they've ever really had too much history to beat this on, but it's the first time in their history they've gone a season without losing to Liverpool.
Yeah, it probably is the first time.
Probably last year they would have lost, and probably the only time they would have come up against them, but it's the first time.
Oh, I can have a look now. you're right. Chelsea, the last game we'll cover, hosted Manchester City. Eden Hazard scoring in the 10th minute before Aguero brought it back to 1-1 in the 26th. Hazard then got a penalty saved in the 35th minute, but latched onto the rebound to make it 2-1. And the final score of this game finished that way. Chelsea getting a big win for them against a Man City side that has looked pretty good lately. City, though, enjoyed more of the possession, more of the shots, and both teams hit the woodwork. But at the end of the day, it was Chelsea's win. And in sort of Leicester fashion, if you look back to last season, they were on the back foot for a lot of the time and got the victory, sort of almost on the counter. So good on them, and that's what the team that wins the league tends to do.
Yeah, they're literally doing the exact same as what they did 2 years ago when they were just grinding out wins. Realistically, they weren't looking flashy, but I think they've won like 11 games this season or 12 games this season, while losing the possession tally. So that's a ridiculous statistic. That they're not having as much possession, but they're still grinding out wins. So, well done to them. Just another one-goal win for them too, because they've won 23 games this season, but their goal difference is only plus 38. So, I think that proves that they're having a lot of wins where they're only winning by one goal.
Only plus 38.
So, when you put it into perspective, though, Tottenham have won 19 games and they've got plus 38 as well. So. But yeah, well done, Chelsea, not taking anything off him. But the one thing I think Tottenham will be fuming about is the fact that John Stones missed an open header from about 6 yards out in the 94th minute to get a late equaliser. I literally, like, I don't And I'm not going to sit here and slag John Stones off because I was like a little bit gutter when we lost him, but I don't know how he doesn't finish this. Like, literally unmarked. I don't know where the Chelsea defence was, but unmarked, 6 yards out, open header, and he's fucked it. And I don't know how he's missed it, in my opinion, but unlucky, I guess. And Chelsea march on to consolidate their lead at the top of the table, Jordan.
Let's just have a look over the table, as you just said. Chelsea sit top, 72 points, sorry. Ahead of Tottenham in second on 65, Liverpool's third, and Man City fourth make up the Champions League spots as it stands. Arsenal in fifth, United in sixth, Everton in seventh. That top seven, although the order could change, looks unlikely to change from being the top seven. West Brom sit 7 points behind Everton in eighth. Southampton 7 points further back in ninth. Watford sit right in the middle of the table in tenth. Leicester, Stoke have 36 points in 11th and 12th. Bournemouth and Burnley have 35 points. So a nice little scrap there for the mid-table finish. Very close. West Ham, as we said, aren't out of the relegation scrap yet. They sit on 33 points. 2 points ahead of Crystal Palace in 16th. Hull City, 30th on 17. Then we've got the relegation teams. And Swansea in 28 points. Middlesbrough on 23 points. And Sunderland sitting dead last, as they have done for the most part of the season, on 20 points. In regards to the goals, Lukaku still first on 21, Harry Kane still second on 19, Sanchez on 18, Costa on 17, Ibrahimovic on 16. In the assist department, Sigurdsson and De Bruyne have 11 each, Eriksen has 10, Sanchez had 9, and Phillips has 8. The average shots on target per match, Aguero averages the most with 1.8 on target per game. That's not that many. You think it'd be more than that, wouldn't it?
You would.
What? That's all she wrote for the last round, Jake, of the Premier League. Do we just crack on to the next round?
Please, all right.
Yeah, let's just preview the next round of the Premier League. I thought we'd been doing Premier League a lot lately, probably because there was a split round this week as well. We are returning to normalish fixtures, I guess. This week in the Premier League, Tottenham Hotspur, Saturday night, they host Watford. It was certainly going to be a one-way result. Tottenham have never lost in the Premier League against Watford, winning 5 of 7 games against them. Realistically, second versus 10th, you think Tottenham are going to win. They won the reverse fixture 4-1, so they went away and scored 4, so...
Yeah, look, I'd be very surprised. I reckon this would be one of those games of Tottenham where they just put on a nice solid shift and win like 4-0. Like, I can't see anything else than Tottenham winning. But...
Former keeper Gomez is playing for Watford.
So, how far off is Harry Kane?
Couldn't tell you. I don't follow football.
You don't even like football.
Yeah, I'm just here to host. You're like, eh. West Ham hosting Swansea. We're back to midnight fixtures, Jake. This is great. Yeah.
9:30 kickoff for the Tottenham vs Watford game, just squad.
Wowee. Oh, that's going to eat into my footy time. The showdown. Not that I'm going to sit there and watch Tottenham Watford, but I mean, whatever. West Ham. Oh, I am, because I host a football EPL podcast and I need to watch football. West Ham hosting Swansea City at the Olympic Stadium. As we said, a danger game for Watford. I mean, West Ham.
It is.
West Ham have been beaten just once in their last 8 Premier League games against Swansea. Though it was at home to Swansea last season. So Swansea do have history here of beating West Ham away. Swansea's 4-1 win in May 2016 over the Hammers ended a run of 12 away games in all competitions without a victory against them. So they've actually gone to their old stadium, where the fuck it was called, bloody Bowling Ground, and they've beaten them 4-1. So if that doesn't get you G'd up for this one, nothing will, Jake. However, Swansea lost 4-1 away. I mean, at home to the West Ham this season. So it could go either way. I feel like Swansea couldn't sneak a point here, but I guess we'll find out, Jake.
I think Swansea are going to win. I think it's a bit optimistic. I don't know, but I reckon Swansea will get the shockies. I really hope they do as well, because they make the relegation battle very, very interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely going to go for a Swansea win here, just because West Ham are struggling.
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 It's my bouncy ball. West Brom hosts Southampton in a relevant game here at the Hawthorns. West Brom have failed to score in 5 of their last 7 Premier League games against Southampton. Is this just set up for a 0-0 draw?
It is. Tony Pulis will do the best to do that.
Yeah, I can see this being a 0-0 draw. Sorry, Jake. 0-0 draw.
Yep.
Their last 0-0 draw was 2015, so... You know,
2 years ago.
Stoke City host Liverpool.
Liverpool.
At the Bet365 stadium. Stoke have lost 6 of their last 7 Premier League games against Liverpool, but did win the other clash 6-1 at home in May 2015. What is that? did win the other clash. They've lost 6
Tell
of
you
their
what,
7
I would not
Premier
mind seeing Stoke win 6-1. If Stoke won 6-1, I'd be pretty happy.
I'm not sure what it means by other clash.
I couldn't tell you, mate, but Stoke going to win 6-1.
Yeah. Middlesbrough host Burnley. Fuck, how was this fixturing? after going 5 unbeaten against Burnley in all competitions, Middlesbrough haven't won any of their last 3 against the Clarets. Burnley are looking to do the double over Middlesbrough in the league for the first time since the 1953-54 season. The last 6 league games between these two sides have contained just 6 goals.
That's incredible.
That's if you're wanting to have a bet 365 cheeky bet this week, you might just have a look at the unders market, because that's probably what's going to happen this week.
Middlesbrough are going to win 1-0.
Yep, I can see that happening, and then the relegation scrap just goes to another level. Man incredible. City versus Hull.
6-0.
Man City have been beaten just once in 9 Premier League games against Hull, a 2-1 loss in February 2010. What?
I traded out Sergio Aguero out of a fantasy team this week.
Why?
He's about to play at Hull. Because I wanted to get more I wanted to get Sterling out of my team. So the trades that I made was Aguero out for Ibrahimovic and then Sterling out for Sanchez.
Huh.
Yeah, it's not bad, but, like, you know.
The last time that Hull actually won away against Man City was in the FA Cup in 1930. So, look, I don't think we're going to be breaking an 87-year drought here.
I was going to say they haven't won it. They've never won at the Etihad, but the Etihad's been around for, like, 10 years.
Yeah, I think Man City's got the W here, Jake. Slate up.
I reckon they've got the W, the L, and the D.
We've all got the D, Jake. Bournemouth, they host Chelsea in this one.
I reckon this would be a
danger
game.
Danger game.
I reckon
Chelsea.
This would be a very fun
game. Despite the fact Bournemouth have lost 6 of their 8 games against Chelsea in all competitions, their only win at home in their first game against them in September 1988. So, despite losing 1-0 to the Cherries in December 2015, Chelsea have won their last 2 games against Bournemouth, netting 7 goals. That was a 3-0 to 4-1 win in 2016.
That's pretty good.
But Bournemouth did win away at Chelsea in 2015, but that was when Chelsea was shit. I'm going to go for a draw here, Jake.
Oh, my.
Cute. Sunderland at the Stadium of Light host Manchester United. Sunderland have lost 22 times against Manchester United in the Premier League. Against no other side have they suffered more Premier League defeats, but they've also suffered 22 against Chelsea. Is that legitimately Sunderland have been in the Premier League 11 years and they've never done anything but lose to them? Or
no, they drew against them in 2014.
So they
beat them in 2014.
Lost
the
majority then. But Manchester United haven't won any of their last 3 games at the Stadium of Light, losing two and drawing 1.
Well, I reckon they're going to win this one.
Yeah, I think they will as well. I hope they don't, but I feel like they will.
Yeah.
And
this is around the stage where Sunderland sort of like make their mad revival and somehow escape relegation. So,
well, imagine they've started against United. What are some scenes? Everton.
Exactly.
Leicester City at Goodison Park on 1 a.m. like Monday. Everton beat Leicester 2-0 in December, but haven't done the double over the Foxes since 1986 or 87. Leicester's only Premier League win at Goodison Park came last season in December, but they've only lost twice there too. Seven draws. The previous 21 Premier League contests between these two sides have ended the level. The greatest draw ratio for a Premier League fixture played over 20 times. It's probably going to be a draw then, isn't it?
Yeah, we're going to go a draw. I think we can win and we should win, but I think I'm just going to go a draw just to be sort of safe.
Remember, we're definitely going to miss Ashley. Beat us 2-1 in January in the FA Cup.
We're going to miss Ashley Williams, I reckon, a lot.
Holgate will just...
And Seamus Coleman, and Morgan Schneiderlin, and James McCarthy.
John Joe Kenny.
And Gerard Delafay.
Yeah. Last game, Palace versus Arsenal. Jake, Palace going to win this one. I'll tell you why. Because Palace have won. Because Palace have won only one of their 15 Premier League games against Arsenal, and a winless in 12 against them. In saying that, Arsenal haven't lost away to the Eagles in the top flight since November 1979.
I'm definitely putting Arsenal or draw in my multi. I think Arsenal will win. They've got a lot to play for over the next month, Arsenal. So I think, yeah, they'll get the win.
So do Palace.
Yeah, Palace for real.
Oh, I'm just going to go for a Palace. Palace win.
Let's go to the Palace. To the Palace above the Palaces in the Palace clouds.
The Palace, we've got Arsenal at home. We've got players who score goals and get
like
them
Wilf Zaha.
We've
just quietly, Christian, I think Wilfred Zaha, just quietly, I think Wilfred Zaha, dead set, is the most improved player in the Premier League this season.
Yep, going to my team of the season.
I'm not going to go that far, but yeah, he's been very
good. Joe Allen.
Joe has literally done nothing since November.
Yeah, when he was in my team of the season.
He actually was, wasn't he?
Yeah. I had him in and Sanchez out.
Good luck. Sanchez wouldn't be in my team of the season anyway.
Yeah, dog shit. I'd rather have a Giroud. That's all she wrote. I've been saying that a lot today, haven't I? In the Premier League this weekend upcoming. We'll be back, obviously, next weekend, as we tend to do next Friday, probably, for the EPL podcast. We'll also be back next Tuesday, most likely, for the A-League Hour.
And we'll be back next Wednesday for the Russian Hour.
The Russian Hour. That's a song.
The Rush Hour. Fucking Triple M going to copyright us.
That's our intro song.
Next year we need like music and shit.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Other than I'm on top of the world. Hey,
I'm gonna buy a soundboard that I can connect to it. Like literally.
I'll say something weird and dun dun dun.
Or you'll say JJ's football jokes and be like, "Brunch."
Incredible.
Scenes at the Bernabeu. Jake, we'll be back on Tuesday. But until then.
Have a nice. I'm on top of the world. Hey, I'm on top of the world.